Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF youth threatened to punish Pastor Ivan Mawarire and members of Tajamuka's Sijikile campaign.
Some Zimbabweans say President Mugabe's remarks deriding Pastor Mawarire are misplaced.
He hasn't seen protest yet. What he has seen is just a clip of the smallest that he can ever expect in terms of protest. The real protests are coming.
Parliament comes to a standstill as two opposition lawmakers bring Zimbabwe's national flag to the House of Assembly.
And a Zimbabwean living in Canada is seeking the United Nations' help in tackling the Zimbabwe crisis.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
ZANU-PF youths have threatened to descend heavily on anti-government protesters who recently shut down Zimbabwe, demanding that President Robert Mugabe should address serious social and economic problems in the country. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The youth who staged a public march in Zimbabwe's capital today to show support for the ruling party said they should be given a chance by the police to take action against Tajamuka's Sijikile campaign and Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the This Flag movement that are calling for state accountability, an end to human rights abuses, arrest of corrupt ministers, and many other issues. Tajamuka's Sijikile says President Mugabe must resign for allegedly failing to run the country with an estimated unemployment rate of about 90%. Addressing party supporters, Deputy Secretary of the ZANU-PF Youth League, Kudzai Chipanga, and the league's political commissar, Innocent Kamandishe, took turns to castigate Tajamuka and Pastor Mawarire, claiming they want to destabilize Zimbabwe.
Pane vamwe vakuita zvamaturo vachiedza kuda kutyisidzira president vedu.
There are now some people who are threatening our president, like Tajamuka. President Mugabe was not voted into power by Tajamuka and others. So we want to tell Police Commissioner Chiwuri that if pastors try to be funny, his officers must step aside and we'll deal with them on our own. We don't want anyone who threatens our president, whom we voted for. Whoever is thinking of leading Zimbabwe must wait for an election and will beat them through the ballot box.
The two said they would not take a back seat while President Mugabe was being attacked and warned that if the police do not arrest members of the two groups, they will take it upon themselves to assault them if they stage protests against Mr. Mugabe and his government. Independent pressure groups led a successful job stay away that paralyzed the country recently. Another two-day stay away was not heeded by some Zimbabweans who claimed that they were being threatened with unspecified action by state security agents for taking part in the protest. While Chipanga and Amandisha were dressing them down in front of thousands of supporters, Tajamuka's Sijikile issued a statement vowing to power pressure on Mr. Mugabe's government for failing to address the concerns of ordinary Zimbabweans. At the same time, the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, issued a statement condemning the police for what it said was the selective application of the law. The party's Director of Communications, Luke Tamborinyoka, said it was regrettable that ZANU-PF youths were allowed to march in the streets of Harare without any police clearance. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from police spokesperson Cherit Charamba, who was not answering a mobile phone. Chipanga also told the ZANU-PF marchers that the ruling party has embarked on a housing scheme, with youth set to get housing stands around Harare, while land is being cleared at a farm just outside the city of Bulawayo for the project. He said the housing stands, issued to the party through local government minister Xavier Kasukwere, would only benefit ZANU-PF members. Chipanga added that ZANU-PF was now in campaign mode ahead of the 2018 elections.
President Wamugabe, wakazvinzwa vakati ndazvitambira hamusiri mimega maite muHarare. Even vekuBlawayo,
President Mugabe had your concerns and he has started addressing them. It is not only you, the youth of Harare, who need land. Even in Bulawayo, they also need it. So here in Harare, the president has given you 1,000 hectares.
ZANU-PF member Gibson Munyikwa said the allocation of stands was long overdue. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, protesters who have been staging street protests and job stairways in an attempt to force the government to address the deteriorating economic situation and other issues in Zimbabwe say they are not worried by President Robert Mugabe's stinging remarks that Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag Movement is inciting local people to engage in public violence. According to Mr. Mugabe, the Minister of Religion should leave Zimbabwe and join his so-called handlers outside the country. Reporter Patricia Mudadigwa has more details from Harare.
President Mugabe's remarks yesterday at the burial of national hero Charles Utete have attracted scorn among protesters and support from ZANU-PF activists. Stanley Zhorwadza, chairperson of the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe, who has led protests against the harassment of vendors and the continued stay of Vice President Peleke Zila Mboko at Rainbow Towers Hotel, say the president is now out of touch with reality. Zhorwadza noted that the president's remarks are causing friction in the country.
He hasn't seen protest yet. What he has seen is just a clip of the smallest that he can ever expect in terms of protest. The real protests are coming. And we are saying we will be obviously deported back into Zimbabwe because our problems are in Zimbabwe. So we are not going to be intimidated by the forces that think that they are in power and they will intimidate the owners of the country.
Francis Rhodes, deputy spokesperson of Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, told Studio 7 that President Mugabe is wrong by classifying those that have genuine concerns as non-Zimbabweans. Rhodes called on Mr. Mugabe to instead address problems that are affecting Zimbabweans instead of attacking people who are unhappy about the way he's running the country.
If we have concerns, because they are the leadership, they must address those issues. And the issues are real. People don't want bond notes. People do not want the import ban that was imposed by the government. Civil servants do not want to get paid the following month. We want the return of Itai Dzamara. We do not want the national pledge, as said by the churches. So all those Zimbabweans have got concerns.
Hard life, Mudzingwa. An unemployed youth echoed the same sentiments, adding that he is happy that the president is now aware that most Zimbabweans are unhappy about his rule.
The statement made by Robert Mugabe is an expression that he now knows that things are not well on the ground. It's an expression that he acknowledges the resentment that is being shown by Zimbabweans.
But Goswill Gauzani, a ZANU-PF supporter who was part of those that marched in Harare today to counter those protesting against the government, said anyone who speaks against the president is dividing the nation.
So we don't need someone who come and try to divide us. Somewhere, somehow, anyway, we don't tolerate.
Zimbabweans have been staging protests in the country, with some demanding that the president should step down for allegedly running down a once vibrant economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
A business came to a standstill in the National Assembly today after Acting Speaker of the National Assembly, Mabel Chinomona, ordered two opposition MDCT lawmakers, Trevor Saruaka and Godfrey Sithole, who were putting on the national flag, to leave the House, in line with yesterday's ruling barring lawmakers from doing so in Parliament. But the two refused, and even attempts by the Sergeant at Arms to eject them failed. Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
The national flag has become popular with the citizens following the movement called Hashtag This Flag, started by pro-democracy activist Pastor Ivan Mawarire, who is asking President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party to deliver on their election promises. Trouble started after ZANU-PF lawmaker Oliver Mandipaka asked the speaker why the MDC lawmakers were defying a ruling made by the then acting speaker, Ruben Marumahoko, who yesterday barred the wearing of the flag in the house. Chinomona ordered the two to take their flags out, but they refused, forcing it to enlist the services of the sergeant at arms to eject them. But they refused and started passing on the flag to fellow lawmakers from their party. MDCT Chief Whip Innocent Gonese defended the lawmakers, saying putting on the national flag was a display of patriotism.
All Zimbabweans who are patriotic to their country want to be associated with the national flag. And I'm just looking in this august house, Madam Speaker, you will see the flag being displayed throughout this august house. And this is my respectful submission that if a member is showing patriotism, it will be unconstitutional to from displaying their feelings of patriotism and allegiance to this country.
The flags were eventually taken out of the House of Assembly after Chinomona threatened to suspend the lawmakers. Meanwhile, all cabinet ministers and the two vice presidents banged parliament today, prompting the opposition lawmakers to ask the speaker to charge them for contempt of parliament. Opposition lawmakers said the country was facing serious economic and social problems, and ministers should come to parliament to answer questions from their constituency. Gwonese said they have been complaining about the behavior of the ministers, and it was time they faced the music.
The constitution obliges ministers to take the business of this august house seriously. As we speak, Madam Speaker, we are wasting taxpayers' money, and they should not have scheduled their cabinet meeting to coincide with the sitting of parliament.
But acting speaker Chinomona said she had been advised that they were attending a cabinet meeting and their deputies were standing in for them. In another development, Deputy Public Service Minister Tapioma Tangaize was heckled by opposition lawmakers after he claimed that government had the capacity to pay state workers and pensioners. Ma Tangaize was responding to a question from opposition lawmaker Jesma Jome of the MDCT, who wanted to know why government was delaying payment of salaries if it had the capacity to pay. Ma Tangaize said they had agreed with state workers that their salaries would be staggered as government was experiencing cash flow problems. He said he was surprised that the opposition was worried about the payment of civil servants more than the workers themselves. But Majome and others said they had every reason to worry as they represented the workers in their constituencies. With 10 days left before the end of the month, government has not paid its workers and does not have specific pay dates as yet. It paid the June salaries this month. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
A political analyst, Ricky Munyaradzi Mukonza, a lecturer at Tshwane University of Technology in Polokwane, South Africa, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that President Mugabe's remarks on political protest leader Pastor Ivan Mawarire showed that he is not in touch with the situation on the ground.
I think the statements made by the president, which kind of threatened Pastor Ivan, shows a leader who is clueless, a leader who, when issues have been brought to him, cannot deal with issues, but rather deals with the messenger. Because if you look at the message of Pastor Mawarire, it was a message that resonated with the public in Zimbabwe. Hence, the response that he got from the public when he called for the stay away. I also see the response by the president demonstrating a failure to analyze and understand the situation on the ground. Because the president clearly sees Pastor Mawarire as a problem.
Where does this leave Pastor Mawarire and his hashtag this flag campaign?
I think the statements that were uttered by the president at the Eroseka really leaves Pastor Mawere a vulnerable man. Because when the president speaks like that, we've seen from past experience that his followers and more importantly, the security sector, they act against whoever the president speaks against. So in this case, the president, I think, acted irresponsibly. He has endangered the life of Pastor Mawarire, and we have even seen today the march that was done by the ZANU-PF youth. They were uttering despicable words against the pastor and even threatening him.
That was political analyst Ricky Munyaradzi Mukonza, a lecturer at Tshwane University of Technology in Polokwane, South Africa, on the phone with reporter Jonga Kande Miri.
Coming up
in the Diaspora Forum this evening, we are talking to a Zimbabwean living in Canada.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Dozens of people have disappeared in the past 2 years at the hands of counter-terrorism forces in Kenya, Human Rights Watch said in a report released today.
And with Donald Trump formally chosen as their nominee for president, Republicans at their convention in Cleveland turn today to some of the party's biggest names in the 2016 campaign to make the case that he is a better choice for the country than Democrat Hillary Clinton. Indiana Governor Mike Pence gets his chance in the spotlight less than a week after being announced as Trump's running mate. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who was considered for Vice President, is also speaking today. VOA's Shaku Abud, who is in Cleveland covering the convention, speaks with Studio 7's Joanne Sojani about deliberations at the event.
Following the nomination, people are asking if the party will be united. So if that's a problem, the question will be, how will he govern? How will he rule? Nobody knows. He has no plans. He has not specified what he's going to do.
For people like us in Zimbabwe, what does that mean for us if he comes as a nominee?
We know his position. He's very strict about it. They talked about it on Monday. They said that they want people to come to America the legal way. People have to follow the procedures. That is his position, and that's going to be a position to him. So what it will mean for Zimbabweans is that you will not be able to enter here without following the normal procedures, which is something which is, as we know, bureaucracy. It'll have to take a lot of changes and a lot of reforms in the migration reform system. It depends on what will happen with the Congress. Will the Congress still remain Republican? Then things will be different for him. It depends if the Congress is taken over by the Democrats, then he'll have a challenge. At the moment, analysts say nothing much will be changed because even foreign policy has not been spoken here during the convention.
And what about the Zimbabweans staying in the diaspora, like here in America? What are the chances once Trump goes into power?
I think so. People are exaggerating a little bit. People are frightened of what he said because knowing the American system, the president can say something, but he is one part of the government. But you'll need the Congress, you'll need the judicial system to work together to be able to complete or execute anything that a president says. So in the near future, I don't think so. It's going to change much for the diaspora.
That was Shakuru Abud at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, speaking there with Studio 7's Shioni Sojani. Trump cemented his nomination after delegates derived from the primary election pledged their support for the business mogul. Zimbabwean admonished leader speaks to Studio 7's Chiwoni Sojani about the possible impact of a Trump presidential win on America and Zimbabwe.
I think that the immigration policies being proposed to by Republicans make it hard for one to get status in the USA. We have a lot of Zimbabweans who are here and have status, and a lot of Zimbabweans who are here who don't have status. So for those who don't have status, they feel that there will not be a pathway for them to regularize their stay in America. So there's a lot of uneasiness. A lot of people are scared because they notice that there is a tone among Republicans that they really want a tight cruise and make sure it's difficult for people, especially who are here illegally, to actually regularize their stay and become citizens of the USA.
Do you feel that we will benefit as Zimbabweans through these elections?
To be honest, I think there's a lot of fear-mongering among Republicans. I feel their agenda really is based on instilling fear in Americans. I feel the current administration has done a very good job. It's been inclusive, and they've really, you know, extended opportunities to immigrants. So I feel that there is not a lot to be benefited from a Donald Trump presidency or a Republican presidency, so to speak. I really feel that a Republican presidency is going to take us back, not only from an immigration point of view, but economically, the things that they are proposing or suggesting will definitely undo the progress that the Obama administration has made for the past 8 years.
That was admonished leader, a Zimbabwean living in America, speaking with Studio 7's Chiwoni Sojani.
Some Zimbabweans based in Canada are organizing a protest in solidarity with campaigns at home under hashtag This Flag, Tajamuka, Sesijikile campaign and other citizen movements who are demanding the immediate address of problems bedeviling the country. Francesca Mandea, a Zimbabwean based in that country, says she has sought signatures for a petition to be handed over to the United Nations demanding its help in resolving social, economic and political problems in Zimbabwe. Mandea tells Studio 7 that she has already obtained 15,000 signatures requesting United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to protect protesters that have been on the receiving end following a police clampdown. At the same time, Zimbabweans living in New York are expected to demonstrate outside the Zimbabwean embassy tomorrow to show their solidarity to protesters back home. Mandea says she has also ventured into singing as a way of dealing with the frustrations of the deteriorating situation at home.
Zimbabweans in Canada are planning to meet the Zimbabwean consulate on 23 July 2016. We were lagging behind. It took time for us to organize, but we have decided also to join others in speaking the truth, in asking for justice, in asking for accountability. Through song, through prayers, through my voices, around many different voices that have something to say and need to express themselves.
We also understand that you have started a petition. What is this petition about and what prompted you to start the petition?
This petition is about asking the UN Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, to protect the rights of Zimbabweans who are seeking liberation. There have been voices that were straining to be heard, and there emerged somebody who was bold enough to talk about this flag campaign. And upon realizing that the action would happen and what its implications were in terms of people's rights, we decided that we needed some sort of protection, knowing that if we do it by ourselves, we risk getting people disappear because it has happened before. We risk getting lives lost because it has happened before while people trying to express themselves, their pain, and seek truth, justice, and accountability. So this was the anger that was churning inside of us to say, what can we do since we are not there at home? What small contribution can we make to this change? We want the world to know that there's a wave of change going on in Zimbabwe. And we want the world's eyes to be focused on Zimbabwe so that people's rights are respected.
How many signatures do you have currently, and what has been the response of the United Nations?
We were on 15,489, but as I speak to you, I think every 15 minutes there's a signature coming in. One thing is, we know for certain if they are aware that there are these concerns from Zimbabweans.
Also, you sing. What prompted you to get into singing? You're singing about very deep issues.
I was working for social, economic, political justice back home since 2003. But what prompted me to sing and to use music as a vehicle to express what is happening socially and as a vehicle for social change was when I was doing leadership development program, and we happened to have a young woman of 23 who was pregnant. She went into labor, and we were told to go to Rua Clinic, that was the nearest clinic. When we went there, the nurse asked us upon entering the clinic whether it was psychosis, and I was shocked that how can she ask if it is psychosis when she can see that it's a woman in labor. So I started getting angry. I was getting all charged up, and I looked at her and I said, you are a woman. You know exactly what you are talking about. And then I realized this anger of mine wouldn't take me anywhere because we still needed the nurse to deliver that baby. So I went from being angry like that to begging. I begged her to help us because I had taken the responsibility to get that young woman on the court. And so she said, okay, I don't have gloves. Give me $5. I gave her $5. And then she said, after all, there's no water in the clinic. So I was looking at her and I'm like, so what next? Can you at least show me how to deliver the baby because the baby is coming? So she had told us to remove the woman from the bed and put her on the floor. So I took off my jacket, my polar fleece jacket, and put it on the back of the young woman. I bumped back in to go and check what was happening. I saw the nurse holding the baby, and we thank God for sparing that life. So when I went back home, my child was playing Bira, and she said to me, Mommy, the song that I'm playing is a sad song. So I remember just telling that story of a child that was born and there was no water in the clinic. I didn't want to emphasize on the abuse. I had other several encounters like what inspired me to sing the 2008 elections, the violence, it's all documented. We know about it. We sang about it. The diamonds that are disappearing, asking where is the money going? What is happening to the environment? What will the children be left with?
That was Francesca Mandea, a Zimbabwean, speaking to us from Canada. For more details on the petition, visit our webpage at www.voazimbabwe.com.
A chairperson, Martha Tolana of the Zimbabwe Network for Positive Women, has received the 2016 Elizabeth Taylor Human Rights Award for her work in fighting for the rights of women living with HIV/AIDS and the LGBTI community. The award was presented at the ongoing International AIDS Conference in South Africa. Meanwhile, about 2.5 million people are infected with HIV every year, according to a recent analysis of a global AIDS study. The AIDS epidemic has changed the conversation on sex, and activists are more sex positive than ever. At the International AIDS Conference, there's the famous No Pants Party, Salacious Dance Performances. Anita Powell brings us the story from the AIDS Conference site in Durban.
Sex is everywhere you look at the International AIDS Conference, held this year in Durban, South Africa. The epidemic has forced frank, often explicit, discussions about sex. Activists argue that telling people to abstain will only backfire. Instead, they want open conversations about how to have good and safe sex. HIV-positive activist Julian Howes stressed the importance of sex positivity.
There are too many taboos around sex and sexuality. HIV is mainly contracted, acquired through sex. The thing is that one of the reasons, perhaps, is that we are too guilty and too shameful about our sex, our sexuality, our sexual practices. And we need to break the taboos around that so that we can be open about what we do, who we do it with, how we love, and actually be sex positive.
Activist Tanzil Ur-Rehman says talking about sex can be awkward, but it's necessary.
The thing is, you cannot provide HIV information and knowledge unless you are going to openly talk about the sex. Because when I was conducting training, right, I had to tell the participants different sex positions in which you are at more risk or you are at less risk.
And they say education about good, safe sex needs to start early. The UN says AIDS is the top killer of teens in Africa.
Women, men, young people, everyone needs pleasure, but there is a huge part of that demographic.
That's it for tonight.